The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. For the next half hour, I'll be reading articles from the Harvard Women's Health Watch and probably from the Harvard Heart Letter as well. And I'm going to continue with the Harvard Women's Health Watch of July 2023. The first thing I'm going to read is a section called Ask the Doctors with Dr. Tony Golan, MD, and Dr. Hope Ricciotti, MD. The first question is, after a recent evening of pain, chills, and difficulty urinating, I learned I have a kidney stone. Will it need to be treated or can it resolve on its own? It depends on what happens next. With an estimated 1 in every 11 Americans experiencing kidney stones at some point in their lives, you're certainly not alone. These hardened deposits of minerals and salts that form inside a kidney can trigger pain so excruciating it's compared to childbirth. The larger a stone, which can range from pea-sized to more than an inch wide, the more likely it will get stuck in the urinary tract, blocking the flow of urine. If this happens, which can lead to dangerous infection, a kidney stone might need treatment. Urologists use a variety of procedures to remove stones or make them easier to pass, including surgery or lithotripsy, a technique that uses shock waves or lasers to break the stone into smaller pieces. But smaller kidney stones may pass on their own, albeit painfully. Dehydration is a top cause of kidney stones. Make sure you drink plenty of fluids each day to prevent future episodes. Question. My daughter heard on social media that taping our mouths closed during sleep could improve snoring and lessen bad breath. Is that true? Unfortunately, social media is rife with so-called medical advice that has no basis in science. And this sounds like yet another example. While intentional nose breathing during waking hours can offer many benefits, including slowing breathing, filtering allergens, and easing anxiety, taping your mouth while sleeping to achieve this can prove risky, leading to hampered breathing, disrupted sleep, or skin irritation. There's no research to support the measure, which in certain cases could significantly reduce a person's oxygen level while sleeping. If you find you consistently can't breathe through your nose while sleeping, you may have some type of nasal obstruction like a deviated septum or a nasal polyp. Research has linked nasal obstruction with snoring. You may also have allergies, asthma, or sleep apnea, meaning that you briefly and repeatedly stop breathing while sleeping. Talk to your doctor, who may suggest tests to pinpoint the problem's cause. Now here's another interesting section of the Harvard Women's Health Watch. It's called Research We're Watching. The first short article is, some obesity-related brain changes are similar to those with Alzheimer's. Some brain changes in people with obesity appear similar to those that occur in people with Alzheimer's disease, a new analysis suggests. For the study, published online January 31, 2023, by the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease, researchers reviewed brain scans from more than 1,300 people, 341 with Alzheimer's, the most common cause of dementia, and 341 people with obesity, as well as 682 people who did not have Alzheimer's or obesity. In people with either Alzheimer's or obesity, the scans revealed a similar thinning in brain regions responsible for learning, memory, and judgment. Cognitive tests taken by participants with obesity, defined as a body mass index of 30 or higher, did not reveal clear mental defects. But the researchers noted that these tests might not detect small changes in thinking ability related to brain changes. The study was observational, meaning it can't prove obesity causes brain regions to shrink. But earlier studies have also found a link between other brain changes like blood vessel damage and a buildup of abnormal proteins and obesity. People with obesity may be able to stem cognitive decline if they get closer to a healthy weight, study authors said. Older women are disproportionately diagnosed with advanced cervical cancer. Women 65 and older are diagnosed more frequently with advanced cervical cancer and fare worse with long-term survival than younger women, says an analysis published online January 9, 2023 by the journal Cancer Epidemiology. Researchers used data from the California Cancer Registry to identify 12,442 women aged 21 and older who were diagnosed with cervical cancer between 2009 and 2018, along with the stage of their cancer at diagnosis and their five-year survival rate. 71% of patients 65 and older were diagnosed with late-stage disease, compared with 48% of younger women. Additionally, five-year survival was significantly lower among older women compared with patients under 65, and women 80 and older had the lowest survival of all age groups. Current cervical cancer screening guidelines recommend discontinuing pap smears and other tests for women 65 and older, who have always had normal screening tests. The results of this analysis emphasizes the importance of not just considering age, but also the past screening history. Regular physical activity can boost your mood. Exercising regularly can improve symptoms of mild to moderate depression, as well as anxiety and psychological distress, a review of many prior published studies suggested. The analysis, published online February 16, 2023, by the British Journal of Sports Medicine, used 97 earlier research reviews involving more than 1,000 trials with a total of 128,119 people. Researchers compared the effects of exercise to standard care across a wide range of adults, including healthy people, those with diagnosed mental health disorders, and people with chronic diseases. When compared with people who were sedentary, those who engaged in all types of physical activity and exercise studied, including walking, resistance training, Pilates, and yoga, showed greater improvement in symptoms of mild to moderate depression. Yoga and other mind-body exercises helped to reduce anxiety the most, while resistance exercise appeared to help the most with depression. The review findings don't mean that people with mental health conditions should sidestep standard care, like medication and counseling. Rather, the results suggest that regular exercise is also an important approach and deserves renewed focus. Here's another article from the Harvard Women's Health Watch of July 2023. And it's called Power Up Your Walking Routine. Bored with looping the neighborhood? Add some kick to your stride. Little can soothe us like the sound and feel of our feet hitting the ground again and again while we walk. Long the most popular form of movement among American adults, walking gained fresh appeal during the pandemic, when more than two-thirds of physically active adults reported it became their preferred exercise. Several years downstream, however, maybe those endless loops around the neighborhood or track are feeling a little humdrum. Or maybe you need more than comfort from your walking routine. That's a sign to kick it up a notch, says Dr. Lauren Ellison, a physiatrist, which means she's a doctor who specializes in physical medicine and rehabilitation at Harvard-affiliated Spalding Rehabilitation Network. There's no question regular walks are better than staying in your chair, but stepping up your regimen can pay off in key ways, even if it just means you stick with it. We know the problems associated with sitting that walking counteracts, but anything that's not inspiring can be difficult to keep doing, Dr. Ellison says. There's almost no good reason not to walk. A wealth of research supports walking's many health benefits, suggesting it improves circulation and health and heart health, strengthens bones and immune response, helps control weight, and lowers the risk of dementia. But a new analysis suggests it's not just the activity that matters, but the pace. Published online September 12, 2022 by JAMA Internal Medicine, the study, which collected health data on 78,000 people, of whom 55% were women, from 2013 to 2015, found that their risk of heart disease, cancer, and premature death dropped by 10% over the following 7 years for every 2,000 steps they logged each day, with the benefit peaking at 10,000 daily steps. Participants who walked more briskly, about 80 steps per minute, reaped greater benefits, lowering their health risks more than slower walking peers. Walking can still fall short, Dr. Olson says, since it works primarily at the legs, but not many other muscles or body areas. Adding a bit of oomph to your walking routine could make it more efficient and add some core strength. But what are the ways to step it up? With a dash of creativity and a flexible thinking, you can easily power up your walking routine, Dr. Ellison suggests. First, you can use walking poles. These transform a legs-only activity into a full-body workout. There are multiple types, which go by such names as trekking poles and Nordic walking poles. Some are designed with rubber tips to grip the pavement, while others are pointed to add traction on trails. Using them works your arms, back, and shoulders, burning more calories in the process. Walking poles can prevent stability problems and also help with lower body discomfort. And because of that cross-body action, they add a little bit of core strength as well. High-intensity bursts of speed can increase heart rate, breathing, and muscle action for short defined periods. Try alternating 5 minutes of typical walking with 30-second intervals of speed walking, skipping, jogging, or sprinting. Repeat as desired. Also known as high-intensity interval training, this pattern definitely improves your cardiovascular fitness more than straight walking. Then there are resistant exercise breaks. Strategically break your stride while boosting overall strength. Rotate 5-minute periods of walking with squats, push-ups, or other resistance exercise. It's a great way to not quite do HIIT, but to supplement cardiovascular exercise with strength and power work. These types of activities are best served for a park or backyard, as they're more difficult to squeeze in on a sidewalk. Music, podcasts, or books on tape will engage your brain while you add to your step count. Cranking up your favorite tunes can motivate you to walk to the beat And exercise can also seem easier when you're focused on your playlist. Dr. Elson listens to audiobooks. It's a chance to kill two birds with one stone, she says. If I don't have time to sit and read, I can at least get in some reading while I exercise. Be sure to pay attention to cars, however. Finally, weighted backpacks can enable you to firm up your leg muscles and give your heart and lungs an extra workout. Fill a well-padded backpack with light weights, between 5 and 10 pounds to start, of dumbbells, books, or cans. But this tweak should only be attempted by seasoned walkers with no joint or muscle problems, which might be aggravated by the extra load. Don't start a walking regimen doing this right away, she says. View this as a higher intensity option. Now I'm going to turn to the Harvard Heart Letter, and I'm going to look at the Harvard Heart Letter from June of 2023 before turning to the Harvard Heart Letter of July 2023. And the first is an interesting article from June 2023 entitled Heart Healthy Eating Patterns Inspired by Latin America. Adapt the Mediterranean diet to future foods enjoyed in Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central South America. Long touted as one of the world's healthiest diets, the Mediterranean diet is backed by a reputable evidence that this eating pattern protects against heart disease. But what if the foods and flavors of countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea simply aren't familiar or appealing to you? Or perhaps you just want to explore flavors from other parts of the world without abandoning healthy eating. That's not a problem, says Josemeyer Mate, an associate professor of nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, whose research focuses on links between nutrition and chronic disease, with an emphasis on Latino and Hispanic culture. You can adapt the basic guidelines of the Mediterranean diet to any cuisine you like. The key is choosing mostly plant-based foods and healthy fat sources that align with the different traditional cultures around the world. Almost 19% of people living in the United States are Hispanic or Latino, making them the second largest racial or ethnic group. And Mexican food ranks among the most popular cuisines among Americans, although many restaurant offerings are a far cry from traditionally prepared dishes in Mexico. Following our suggestions for creating healthy meals, inspired by fare found south of the border. Because Latin America includes 35 countries, this is just the taste of this diverse cuisine. A Latino-inspired plate would align with the basic guidelines of the Mediterranean diet and the Harvard Healthy Eating Plate. This is described at www.health.harvard.edu/HP. It will include foods from several categories. The first is plant-based protein. Latin American cuisine is known for its beans, which are a good source of protein and fiber. Americans may be most familiar with pinto and black beans. But in Puerto Rico, Mate's native country, pink beans and red beans are more common, along with pigeon peas. Different bean varieties have slightly different nutrient profiles. For example, some have more folate or vitamin B9, while others contain more iron. That's why I advocate eating a variety of beans as well as nuts for the added benefit of healthy fats, says Mate. Several nuts, including peanuts, cashews, and Brazil nuts, are native to South America. Fish and seafood are popular in Mexico and other Latin American countries, especially near the seacoast. One popular preparation method is a Veracruz style, white fish fillets cooked in a mixture of tomato, onion, garlic, olives, and capers. Another animal-based specialty is chicken with mole poblano, featuring a savory sauce made with chocolate, chili peppers, and other spices. Some restaurants prepare alleged Mexican or Latino food with a gooey, processed cheese, but that's not a part of traditional dishes. Instead, use sparing amounts of queso blanco or queso fresco, a soft, crumbly white cheese that's similar to feta cheese, but with a milder, less salty flavor. Carbohydrates. Whole or minimally processed grains or other starchy plants are some of the healthiest sources of carbohydrates. In Latin America, as in many cultures around the world, white rice is a staple. White rice is often eaten with fiber-rich beans, so it's best to serve at least as much beans as white rice on your plate for a healthier ratio. Swapping white rice for brown rice or corn, which is also commonly ground into corn flour to make tortillas or tamales, can provide additional nutritional benefit. Plantains, which are starchy fruits related to bananas, are especially popular in Caribbean cuisine. One of Mate's favorite meals features green plantains fried in plant-based oil, tostones, and mixed bean stew. Tropical fruits like mangoes, pineapples, and papayas are found throughout Latin America and are also available in the United States. Those and more exotic options like acai, A-C-A-I, guava, and passion fruit can be tasty, nutritional choices. Latino diets include many vegetables familiar to Americans, like cabbages, carrots, tomatoes, and peppers. For variety, try jicama, a crunchy, mild-flavored root vegetable, chayote, similar to summer squash, or nopales, which are cactus paddles. Olive oil is available in Latin American countries, but other oils high in unsaturated fat include soybean and canola oils and are just as healthy, says Mate. Fish like grouper and snapper and avocados, which are native to the region, also are rich in healthy, unsaturated fats. Now in the Harvard Heart Letter of June 2023, we're going to turn to research we're watching. And the first is, home-based cardiac rehab may cut deaths by more than a third. Military veterans who did home-based cardiac rehab were 36% less likely to die within 4 years compared with vets who opted out of the program, a new study found. A customized program of education and exercise designed to help people recover from heart-related problems, cardiac rehab can be done at a medical facility or at home. The study, published March 7, 2023, in the Journal of the American Heart Association, included 1,120 veterans deemed eligible for cardiac rehab. About half had undergone angioplasty, a procedure to improve blood flow to the heart's arteries. Just 490, or 44%, chose to participate in a 12-week home-based rehab program. The program featured up to 9 coaching calls and motivational interviewing sessions. Participants also got a workbook, a health journal, a blood pressure monitor, a scale, and, if desired, a stationary bike. A nurse or exercise physiologist helped each person create realistic activity goals. Over a median follow-up of 4.2 years, the death rate was 36% lower among participants compared with those who didn't choose to do rehab. Although more convenient than on-site programs, home-based cardiac rehab programs are not currently covered by Medicare or most insurance plans. Another interesting brief article in the Harvard Heart Letter, 1 in 5 people are at risk of heart disease and shun statins. Cholesterol-lowering statins can reduce the odds of having a heart attack by 25% to 35%, especially in people at high risk for these common life-threatening events. A new study by Harvard researchers suggests that 1 in 5 people with cardiovascular disease or diabetes declines to take a recommended statin drug. The study, which spanned 19 years, included more than 24,000 people who had suffered a stroke or had heart disease, vascular disease, diabetes, or very high cholesterol. Overall, about two-thirds of people advised to take statins eventually started them, but the other third never did. Over the entire course of the study, women were more likely than men to never start a statin. Published in the February 2023 issue of JAMA Network Open, the study also found harmful LDL cholesterol levels were higher in people who declined to take statins, thereby further increasing their risk of cardiovascular disease. The study authors are planning additional research to understand the reason behind statin refusal. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Yook, and reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's NCREAD. INGSERVICE.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.